Welcome to the Warrior's Way. I am your host, Dennis Tooley, and today we are actually on location at the office of a good friend of mine who is a certified counselor, and I want to welcome my good friend, Kent Patterson. Kent, welcome to the Warrior's Way.
Thanks. It's great to be with you today.
Kent, before we started the recording, you and I, we visited a little bit about the nature of multiple sclerosis, mm-hmm. or for that fact, any chronic illness, any debilitating illness that has that strong component that wants to grip us, mm-hmm. And that is the component of depression. Mm-hmm. And what I really am interested in learning from you is kind of twofold. One, what are some of the things we should be watching for in our daily living that should signal us, hey, I'm starting to fall prey to the dark side, to the depression. Mm-hmm. How can we identify some of those things? And then what are some things that we can be doing to help us rise above the grip of depression?
I believe that regardless the situation a person may be in, those tentacles, that, as you kind of mentioned, of depression are the same for everyone. You know, loss of activity, loss of energy, loss of interest, just that mundane feeling you get, and that sense of hopelessness. There are more clinical ways to describe it, but that's usually the way it feels, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking the way you feel, and it makes you feel comprehensively like you're down like that.
Right.
And so, especially with a chronic illness, one of the most important things to do is to make sure that you go over your medications and maybe even talk with your doctor to make sure that this isn't a chemically induced depression.
Right.
Because a lot of times we just take the medicine and it helps us in one area, but there are other side effects that we have to be really careful about.
And that is something I know. There are a number of medicines that I've been prescribed because of the MS, mm-hmm. that when you read
the fine print
of right. And the 65 pages of things that the FDA says they have to make there, but you'll find, you know, that there is a connection, mm-hmm. by taking that medicine, there's a connection to depression. Mm-hmm. And I've often thought, is that because we're depressed because we have to take as much medicine as we do, or is there something in the medicine that chemically may be causing us to be a little bit more prone to be depressed?
Sometimes when you take the medications, and because doctors use different medication combinations on everyone, we don't always know how the different combinations are going to work for every individual. Mm. So sometimes, just by nature of taking the medicines and the combinations you take them, it can have a negative effect on your brain chemistry, which causes that depressive state. But like you mentioned, it's also a fact that when people are in a chronic illness and they have to take one more pill, that is really disheartening.
Right.
And so what do you do when you get really disheartened? And that's what you're talking about here. Because with MS, there will be times of lack of activity. There'll be times when things just aren't working the way you want to, and there isn't much you can do about it. So what do you do about a situation that you can't do anything about?
Right.
I think is what you're kind of asking.
Yeah.
The short story is this. You have to find a way to manufacture hope in your situation, because there isn't any situation that's completely hopeless. I love what you talk about with the MS Warriors, because I do believe that people who are in a chronic situation, they have to have that attitude of a warrior. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to battle this and there's hope at the end. Even with today's medical advances, you never know what may come out next week.
Right.
And so that whole idea that there's a reason I'm alive and the reason I'm living, that can be a great deterrent to depression.
Right.
Even with that, though, the strongest warriors tire out and get weary. And so part of that comes back to just making sure you take care of yourself. And you do what the doctors are asking you to. You have a good diet. You do the exercises and stuff whenever you can. because activity has a way of keeping you up where, as you know, if you sit around and just watch Netflix for about 3 weeks, you lose energy and you lose any desire for living.
It's basically depending on what you're watching. Those shows can be real crazy depressive if you watch way too many of them. So.
And that's another aspect. What you fill with your mind has a lot to do with that as well. If you cut off your activity and your involvement with other people, the healthiest person will get depressed.
Right.
Because we're made to live in community, so it's finding those people who you can share not just life with, but you can share your life with, and they can share their life with you, so that when you do start to fall into those different areas, you don't have to always identify it yourself. You've got other people who can identify it as well.
Right.
So they can see off in a distance. Well, it looks like you're down today. What can we do to help?
Let me ask you this. You talk about, you know, how there is this nature of becoming isolated. Mm-hmm. In the study and research that you might have done and everything, how effective are groups, online groups, being a member of a Facebook group and interacting with people that you may have never met, you may actually never meet, because they're from places across the country or across the world for that. How effective are those in terms of having a sense of community or a sense of belonging? Are they seeing value in,
yeah,
in the online groups?
There is value in the online groups, but it depends on the group.
Right.
And it depends on how careful you're being with the group and what you're going there for. If you're going there to interact and gain courage and hope over your condition and the things you're facing, they're excellent for that.
Right.
If you're going there trying to look for answers to life in general, not so good, because you put yourself in that very vulnerable position to be taken advantage of, if not emotionally, sometimes financially.
Yeah.
And you can't verify things online that well.
Right.
But from a support perspective, it's a wonderful thing, yeah, especially for people who don't have other people in their area that are suffering or dealing with what they're dealing with, or if they can't get someplace with somebody.
And I think I have visited many of the groups, you know, that I've seen on Facebook. There are a couple of them that I try to get in and be interactive with, because I want to encourage people.
Right.
And I know that there are times when I go into some of those groups, and I find that there are those individuals that kind of take over with the moaning and complaining aspect, right, of things that quite honestly, I don't get depressed all that easily, because I keep pushing myself to go beyond it. And but there are times I'm reading there's some of that stuff and I'm kind of like, wow, now I'm feeling a little bit depressed because of the nature of that. And so you got to be careful.
You too.
With the groups that you're getting some help or support from, whether it's that online or even in person. You know, I know there are support groups that I have heard about where people said, I went to that support group, and all they did was want to talk about how, you know, their pain, aches and pains, and
right,
and how horrible life was. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. So
it's important that if you get the opportunity to go to a group that's been certified by some agency. So if there's an MS group that's been certified with them by the MS group, the larger group that has actually trained people to facilitate,
right,
that helps an awful lot, because that way you just don't have a collection of ignorance sometimes.
Right.
Which you can still get a lot of encouragement with people who aren't experts or aren't trained, but there's always a time where something will come up that could be bad information or a person who's been gripped by bitterness that can really wreck the group unless there's someone there to, right, intercede for everybody.
Yeah. Well, and I know that both the National MS Society and the MS Foundation, who are two of the larger players when it comes to facilitating support groups and helping support groups for MS anyway. They both have programs that will kind of help certify or teach the people directing those groups, because I know when we started the MS support group in Greenwood that I wanted to get rolling. I actually went through both training programs for the MS Society and for the foundation because I wanted to be aware of not only the tools and resources that are out there, but I wanted to be aware of how do we handle those situations that come up in a support group.
And it's just not any support group, with especially with MS, there's specific issues. But unless you've gone through it, you don't know what to tell people.
Right.
You don't know how to handle those things. So it's important that for something that's as specific as this, you find the best support you can. And going to those groups to look for people who are certified or at least places that say this is okay is a good way to do it, because a bad group can make you more depressed. And if you get more depressed, you're less likely to try a good group.
Right.
And so it's important to make sure you look through those things well.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, as you think about the individuals, mm-hmm. who there may be some that listen to the podcast who have become isolated. They don't have a support group that they can go to. Some because they live in a more rural environment, mm-hmm. and there's not a support group readily accessible to them. Some they don't have the internet as easily accessible as others, and mm-hmm. so what are some techniques or some things that people that find themselves a little bit isolated just by the nature of where they live, right. on top of the isolating nature of MS, mm-hmm. what are some things that they can do that they might have to do for a short time, do on their own as an individual, mm-hmm. to try and combat the depression?
You can always start online just by looking up positive things. I don't mean that to be flippant.
Right.
But anything that you can get into that will help you, encourage you, do that. Reading, listening to good music, even watching good movies, anything that you can find that can give you that little jolt will be a good thing. It doesn't have to be an MS group to encourage you.
Right.
If you're in a place that doesn't have an MS group, there may be other groups. Maybe even if it's just an interest that you like, that anything that removes that isolation, that lets you see that there's something beyond you, is always a great way to get that encouragement. People can also practice mindfulness and meditation, depending on what it is that they find hope and security in. Focusing on those things can help reignite the brain into positive ways and into better chemical reactions so they can move forward again.
Okay.
Even if it's just going out and going into nature, if they're and walking around, just doing something that gets them out of that concave that they find themselves in.
Right.
Now, there are times when what you need to do is talk to a doctor who may be able to prescribe some type of medicine that might be able to give you a jump start. Maybe it's finding a counselor who you can listen to. And many counselors, especially with people who have other chronic issues, you know, you're worried about paying for everything. There are many counselors who receive reduced rates, some even very low rates, just to help people, especially with those types of issues that are going through.
Right.
Because they get into the business, not so much to make money, but to really help people. And that's one way to do it. If you've got someone, you know, you think, well, I'd be even more depressed if I have to pay for someone to listen to me.
Yeah.
Well, maybe so, but you go to doctors and other people because you're paying them to listen to your aches and pains.
Right.
It's the same way.
Right.
And most counselors are trained in helping and identifying different issues. Because maybe the issue that you're dealing with really isn't the MS, but something before then that's piled onto the MS, and that makes it even worse.
Right.
And so if you can remove some of those other burdens, you might find that it's easier to, and I don't mean this flippantly, but it's easier to walk with the MS without all the other weight of other things that are hanging on to you.
Right. And that, I guess that's something I haven't really even spent much time thinking about, is the aspects of life that were already somewhat burdening,
mm-hmm.
To someone before they were diagnosed with,
right.
with MS. I know Well, I can't say it was before I was diagnosed, but you know, I was diagnosed, and I thought I was doing pretty well with how I was handling the diagnosis and handling everything, and then the job that I had for 10 years that I enjoyed and thought that I was doing a pretty good job at.
Right.
They, you know, they came and said, "Well, we're going a different direction, and we're not telling you what direction we're going." You know, and it was only the second time in my life I'd ever been let go of it from a job. Mm-hmm. Everything up to that point, if I changed jobs, it was because I wanted to, not because they wanted to get rid of me. Mm-hmm. You know, but I guess I didn't really think about how there are things like that that. Just by their nature, whether I had MS or not, losing a job is something that can be very depressive.
And that's just it. We tend to label people, and sometimes people label themselves like, "I'm MS now."
Right.
And there's so much more to your life than just MS. Now, undoubtedly, it's a huge portion of your life.
Right.
But there are other relationships. There's the whole past you had up to that moment. And just having an MS doesn't mean your life is going to be miserable. You could have had a miserable life before MS, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then you hit that, and then it's like it's unbearable. Yeah. Or you could have had a good life, but some issues you hadn't quite resolved. And so it's like trying to swim with sandbags tied to your feet.
Yeah.
If you can cut some of that weight off, it makes it a lot easier. And I would really suggest that to people going through chronic illnesses, that there's someone they can talk to to unpack some of the other things.
Right.
Because if they can do that, they can focus their energies and their attention into beating the chronic issues that they're facing.
Yeah. So, if today you just had the opportunity to give someone one or two things they should try today that could make a profound difference in the level of depression they're feeling in their world, what one or two things would you say? Just if you do this thing, it's going to at least get you moving. It's not going to get you past all of the depression, but it's going to at least get you moving in the right direction. What are one or two things, activities or something that somebody can be doing?
I would find the most positive friend you have and hang out with that person. Depression usually happens in isolation. And I don't mean that someone's off in a little room, but they're out of connection with people.
Right.
That's one way to always keep yourself almost, not depression-proof, but depression-immune in a sense, where you can catch daily colds, but you're never going to get really sick. Because having people who care is the number one way to beat any depression. Then secondly, it would be to get out and move. Do something that would take energy to move around, because just that very fact, your body starts to create those positive vibes that you want.
Right.
And then if you were to ask me a third thing, I would talk, you know, I know, I used to be a preacher, so everything comes in threes. That what you have to do is find someone, make sure that your doctor knows what they're doing with the medications, just so you can check that off the box. And then maybe you might think about, maybe I need something in this moment to help me get through this event.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, it doesn't mean that you'd be on medication for the rest of your life for that area. But sometimes, especially with everything that the chronic illness has with it, sometimes that little help just to rebalance your brain is everything that you need to get going again.
Yeah.
So connection with others, some type of exercise, and if you need to, some medical intervention is the best way to handle those things.
Yeah. Well, Kent, I appreciate your time and sitting down with us. We've been visiting with Kent Patterson, counselor, extraordinaire.
The check's in the mail.
I don't know if there's a formal title other than good friend and counselor. But Kent, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with us a little bit. I want to thank you for your words of wisdom, your words of encouragement and advice. And by all means, if you're listening to the podcast and you have found something beneficial from this, please Share this podcast with others. Share it with your friends, family, whoever it might, this might benefit. Subscribe to the podcast. Become a follower of the podcast and help us share the word that the Warrior's Way podcast is here to encourage and uplift people with MS or any chronic illness. So we're just here wanting to raise the standard of focus to finding a better way on the Warrior's Way.